Grace Connection group study this morning. We're in 1 Samuel, where God speaks to Samuel the prophet and gives him a message to speak. And by the time we finished the study, you learned from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 19 and 21, that Samuel was established as a prophet and that the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by his word, by the word of the Lord. And so from the beginning, we know that God has been about revealing himself through his message, the message of salvation, most fully through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We call the message the gospel, the good news. We're going to see where the message is called the words of eternal life. And if you were to turn to the book of Hebrews, New Testament book of Hebrews, the very first verses in that book, we read these, the first three verses. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, speaking of Christ, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. God has spoken to us by his Son, through his Son. So we've talked a little bit about this before, but what makes the church different from other organizations of people meeting, gathering? You know, there's a dangerous trend in our modern church is that we have minored on the message and we have majored on the methods and the pragmatism, the pragmatic part of it. If it works, that's our philosophy. If it works, then it must be what God wants us to do. And our churches people are being invited to pragmatic things, and they leave before long because it doesn't satisfy after a while. We have a tendency to invite folks to church by inviting them to things. Now, I understand that we have things. We do things. We have our Grace Connection groups. We have upcoming Creative Arts Camp. There are things that we do. Those are just two of the things that we, in a sense, do. And we understand that we're inviting them to hear the message in those things that we do. Or, if we're really honest, are we simply just inviting them to those things in hopes that they're going to like everybody when they get here, and they're going to like the things that we do, so maybe they'll come back and be with us again and maybe find a place to belong? That's the key word these days, belong. But I want to propose that we invite folks to the message. We invite folks for the message, and I'm not talking about the sermon. I'm talking about the message. And that brings us to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And we've looked at this text before when we went through 1 John. We went through our study on assurance in 1 John. But 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Apostle John writes this: that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have looked at and touched with our own hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We talked about this before, but I think it's interesting. Again, the first, for those of you who like English grammar, the first Greek verb in the passage is found in verse 3. We proclaim. So John begins writing, and it's not until our verse 3 that he places the main verb of this passage that he's writing. And I quoted Stott before, but I think it's interesting. John Stott says that we could paraphrase it this way, the prologue this way. He says, we could write, we proclaim to you concerning the word of life, that was which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have touched, and the objects of our, and the object of our proclamation, our objects are fellowship and joy, Stott writes. See, John's writing this letter as a proclamation. What is his proclamation? What is he proclaiming? He's proclaiming Jesus, the Word of Life. Who or what is the Word of Life? Jesus Christ is the Word of Life. The message of Jesus Christ is the Word of Life. We can't separate those two. We believe, if we believe the message of the gospel, we're believing in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the Word, who is the message. And he refers to him, Jesus, as the Word of Life. Does that sound familiar? You know, if we I think we did this before when we looked at this passage, but if you flip back to John's gospel account, John 1:1, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, he writes these words. Sounds very familiar to his first opening words in 1 John. In the beginning was the Word speaking of Christ. You'll see that it's capitalized there, should be. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. Sounds very similar to the first five verses he wrote, the first opening prologue there in 1 John. So John takes an inanimate concept, the Word, and he personifies it. He fulfills it in the person of Jesus Christ. John declares that those who read his gospel, those who read this epistle, this letter, that the Word is not an untouchable concept. It's not a theory. It's not a philosophical thought or an impersonal force. Listen to what John, how John finishes. He writes down in verse 14 of chapter 1 of his gospel account. He says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is alive. The Word lives. Why? Because the Word is Christ, the very Son of God. And John finishes his name, the Word of Life. And John writes at the very end of his account, in his gospel account, that is, in chapter 20, verse 31, he explains why he wrote the gospel of John to those who are reading. Listen to this, how similar it sounds to what we just talked about, just read, the Word of Life. He says this in John chapter 20, verse 31, "But these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in His name." Here he ties it. He finishes it out. He says, I want you to believe in Him, written these things, Jesus Christ, who is the Word. He begins by saying the Word, the Logos, and he ends by saying to believe in His name, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why? So that you may have life in His name. That's the message. That's the message to be proclaimed. That's what the verb is, John's wanting us, that we proclaim. That's the message we proclaim. We ask the question, is there life which Jesus can give a person which is more than physical life. We know that he's the creator of all things. Colossians tells us that all things have been created by him. We also understand that we just read in 1 John that everything was created by him. And we say yes. We testify to that. Those of us who sit here in Jesus Christ, we testify that there is a life more than just this breathing, physical breathing that we have. And so our call as the body of Christ, as the people of God, is more than just inviting people to come to grace so that they can have a better physical life as they live on earth. Our call is to invite them to the Word of Life himself. That's the call. Because, see, church never saved anyone. Church never really helps in any form or fashion. Attending church doesn't do anything other than take up some of your time. You may feel a little good by coming, but it's not the church that does anything for you. It's Christ. So our call is not to invite people just to grace. Our call is to invite them to grace to hear about the Word of Life, the Son of the living God. And it's not always easy to do to tell people the truth about Jesus, is it? Samuel had a tough time telling Eli what the Lord had told him. He did not want to do it, nor did he look forward to speaking it. But Eli said, "Tell me what the Lord has said." And he told him. Something we have to understand is that the message of the gospel is offensive. Now, those who have personalities that like to get into people's face can misunderstand what I just said. Because they're like, "Oh yeah, that gives me the opportunity to get in somebody's face." They kind of almost like it, which would be sin on that part. Because you know that's not right. For him to know what is right and to not do it, to him that's sin. So for somebody to really like to get into somebody's face with the offensiveness of the gospel would be sin. But we have to understand that the gospel is offensive. It's very offensive. We don't proclaim it in an offensive manner. It's just the nature of what it is. And we don't have all the time to go into the aspects of how the gospel is offensive to unbelievers, but the message that we proclaim is serious. It's life-changing. It's not life-enhancing. If you like Ray Comfort, he gets into that difference between life-changing and life-enhancing with his little parachute illustration that he does. It's life-changing. And so it becomes offensive. Why? Because the Scripture tells us that many love darkness rather than the light. And they love their sinful deeds more than they love their need for a Savior. And most of us sitting here can probably say that we've been there. But still we proclaim him. Why? Because the truth of it is of an offensive nature. Why? Because we want people's lives to be changed completely. Because see, we're not calling people to add Jesus to their already normal, okay life. We're not even calling them to add Jesus to their messed up life. We proclaim him so that by believing in him, they become crucified with Christ. That's an offense. That's offensive to the sinful nature. That's offensive. But why? Because I want to do my own thing. I don't want to die to myself and live for somebody else. I don't want to answer to somebody else. And that's what I mean by the offensiveness of it. Because when we stand before the cross, we are brought before an offensive decision. Do I continue to live for myself my own way? Do I lord over my own life, or do I bow my knee right here and trust the Lord to lord over my life? We're proclaiming that if you believe in Christ, you have to die to yourself. And we testify to the fact that you have to be baptized into his death, buried with him, and raised to walk in newness of life. Your life has to be new. That's the message. The old is gone and the new is come. And so we don't ask people, would you like to receive Jesus? And just, oh yeah, I'd like to do that, sure. I need a little help, sure. No, we must look at them and say, you know what? If they say yes, you want to do that, then say it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you whatever you think you want. It's going to cost that. You've got to give up everything to follow him. You've got to be willing to say, here it is. I don't want my life anymore. Matter of fact, let me crawl up on that cross and just crucify it now because I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. It's a dead end. It's destruction. We got to be honest with people and say, Jesus is not just an enhancer. He's got to change your life. You will no longer think the same way. You'll no longer have the same desires in your life that you have had. See, this is a much more serious message than just inviting somebody to church. A place where they can belong. This is a message about coming to Christ. This is about being born again. This is about passing from death into life. This is about going from darkness unto life. The quote that is attributed to C.S. Lewis, and I hear Ravi Zacharias quote it quite often as well, and I've quoted it here before. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, but to make dead people live. Think about that. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, but to make dead people live. And that's the message we proclaim to a lost and dying world. A world that is heading for imminent destruction. And the only way to escape that is to trust in Christ. To trust in him. And that is the heart of the message. And that's what God has called us to proclaim to our generation. That's what God has called us to proclaim to our culture and our community. See, God gave his message to Samuel. Samuel was to relay that message to the people in his generation. God has given us his message. The call is the same. Our call is to relay the message of God to the people of our generation. And so when we invite someone to grace, we ought to do that. When we invite someone to grace, we invite them to hear the words of life. Not just to come and sit with us and enjoy some great songs and some good time together or whatever, but so they can hear the words of life. Words of life. What do? The words of life, they rescue. Words of life that redeem. Words of life that heal the sin-sick soul. To come and hear the message of the one who is life. Come to grace. We talk about life. We talk about Jesus. Come hear about life. Real life. And by inviting them, we're inviting them into fellowship. The very reason we want them to hear the message of Jesus Christ is so that they can be not into our fellowship in the sense of attendance, but into the fellowship of Christ himself by believing. And they can be placed into the worldwide fellowship of believers, but also the local one. What is this fellowship? This fellowship of eternal life that we're told here. In the first verses of 1 John. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, John writes. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So when you invite someone to your Grace Connection group, you're inviting them to hear about Jesus, that they may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing him, they may have life in his name. That's why we invite them. That's why we want them to come with us and sit in that group with us to hear words of life. not for their enhancement, because their life may be headed south, but so they could be redeemed, saved, set apart. It's the Savior of the message we want them to experience and know. Now, I understand that I'm preaching to the choir. You're sitting here saying, we know all this. But a little good reminding is good for us all, I think, to be reminded. See, when we gather in 21 days, we're going to gather here in 21 days, Lord willing, we'll be gathering for our Creative Arts Camp. And there's, Lord willing, there's going to be children and adults all over this campus, this place. And we want that. What do we want? We want them to come and hear the message of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's going to be fun. We're going to have fun songs. We're going to have games. We're going to do all those things. We're going to have great adult snacks as well. But the heart of the message is what we desire for them to hear. We want them, for most, we want them to remember, to hear and remember, and prayerfully to believe the message of Christ. So everything we do, we're going to do to our ability, the best of our ability, with the enablement of the Lord. But we need to keep right here in the forefront of our minds the fact that what we have seen, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have touched with our own hands, we proclaim. We proclaim to them. The Lord declared of Samuel, he said this of Samuel, that none of his words fell to the ground. And we need to be praying that the message that we proclaim to those who will listen to us, that they will not fall to the ground. It will not be in vain. But that the Holy Spirit will allow them to hear it and to believe it. See, it's God that opens the ears of the deaf. He opens the eyes of the blind. It's God who softens the hardness of the heart to hear the gospel and believe it. He calls us to proclaim it. The Holy Spirit causes the people to actually be able to hear it and to believe it. We've got to remember this, that also that we don't have to wait. I know we've talked about camp, we talked about our Grace Connections, but we don't have to wait for people to come here to hear the word. As a matter of fact, very few people will ever walk in these doors. Very few people in our community will ever walk in these doors, or the doors of any congregation. Not just the doors of Grace, but the doors of any congregation in this community. The majority of the people needing to hear it will never attend here, any event or for any reason. And so what do we do about that? Well, the call for us to go to them with the message, to take it to them, to where they live, where they work, where they play, where they study, to take the message to them. It's a good thing to invite them here, because they may come. They may come. But just know that they probably will not come. And that's not to burst your bubble or deflate you. But they probably will not come. So whether they come and set foot on our campus or not, the heart of the message needs to be proclaimed. And what is the heart of that message? That Jesus is the Word of life. He's the Word of life. He's what they need to hear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us the account of Samuel in the Old Testament. We thank you for giving us the account of your calling him and you giving him your word to speak to the people, his people, in his generation. Lord, we thank you for John. We thank you for inspiring him and breathing these words of 1 John and the Gospel of John to us, that we may have this account in our own hands today. And the encouragement and the proclamation that John declares in these first few verses of Jesus and the importance of the message of the gospel to our generation. Father, I pray that we will not be disheartened when those we invite do not come, when they make excuses, or when they seem too busy, or just uninterested. Lord, remind us that you've called us not to invite them here to this place, but Lord, your call is to invite them to your Son. And Lord, we are the ones who have seen. We're the ones who have heard. We're the ones who testify to the fellowship. We're the ones who testify to eternal life. And so, Lord, help us to be bearers and proclaimers of the good news to those who are uninterested, those who make excuses. Lord, that they may hear, that the Holy Spirit, you may open their eyes, may open their ears, may open their heart and mind to receive your word and to receive it with gladness and to forsake their sin, to forsake their self, and to say, crucify me, Lord Jesus, with you, that I may live with you. Lord, remind us again of how important the gospel is. Remind us again that people are perishing. Remind us again that people are lost and undone and walking and groping in darkness. And so, God, make us messengers for you, for your sake. Whether they come or whether we go, Lord, open our eyes and make our hearts compassionate toward those who do not know you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.